Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 16, and these verses we will read responsively. Page 1264 in your Scofield Bible. And now shall we all please stand for the reading of God's Word. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Together also on verse 16, please. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And let's please bow our heads for a word of prayer.
I want you to look again, if you would please, at the the passage in Colossians chapter 3, and I want you to keep your Bibles open there for a while, if you would. Colossians chapter 3. I want you to look at verse 8, where it says, but now ye also put off all these. And then there's a list of things to put off. Now in verse 9 it says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Then in verse 10 it says, and have put on the new man. Now we have two put offs, and now we start put on. Put on the new man. Down in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and so forth. Now in verse 14, another put on. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, there are several times in the Bible where you find this little term, put on. For example, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. And then in Galatians 3:27, it says, put on Christ. And then in Ephesians 4:24, it says, put on the new man. I want to speak this morning on the subject, you've got to put it on. You've got to put it on. You're going to hear not a great preacher preach, or there's not one preaching here this morning, and you're not going to hear a great sermon, but you are going to hear a great truth. You've got to put it on. You don't have to put on the old man. He puts himself on, but you've got to put on the new man. What is good about you is on purpose. What is bad about you just happens. Left alone, decay comes. If decay is prevented, it's on purpose. Left alone, molding comes and fermentation. If molding and fermentation is prevented, it's on purpose. People do not do right accidentally. Right is done on purpose. Wrong is done accidentally. Wrong is always present when there's an absence of the right. If you don't put on the good, the bad puts itself on. If the good is on, there's no place for the bad. And so I want to speak this morning on the subject. You've got to put it on. There's a place in you for either wrong or right. Now listen carefully. Give me a good hearing. There is a place in you for either wrong or right. They never coexist. That place is filled by wrong and emptied of right, or filled by right and emptied of wrong.
If you do not put right there, wrong will migrate there. Either right or wrong is there. There's a place inside of you also for love or hate. One of the other or the other will be there. That little place inside of you, some spot down in the corner of your heart or mind or somewhere, where love or hate will be. They will not cohabitate. Either this place will be filled with love on purpose or hate by default. Hate forces its way in. The only way you can keep hate from coming in is to have it filled with love prior to hate's entrance. There's a place in you, a place inside of you for peace or war, or peace or strife. Peace is placed there on purpose. If peace is not put on purpose, strife will take its place. There's a place inside of you for faith or doubt. Some little part of your heart down here somewhere for faith or doubt. Now, you put faith there. Faith does not intrude. Faith does not barge in. Doubt does. Doubt is an intruder. Doubt breaks in. But doubt will find no place of lodging if faith is already there. So you put on faith or you put on nothing and doubt enters in. There is a place somewhere in your mind, in the corner of your mind somewhere, for truth or error. They never cohabitate or coexist. One is there or the other is there. Both never are there. You either put truth on or in that place on purpose, or error enters in by default. There is a place inside of you for patience or impatience. They never coexist. If that place is filled with patience on purpose, then impatience cannot find an entrance. If that place is not filled on purpose with patience, then impatience will fill the void that is left. One or the other will be there. I say, you will always be patient or impatient. You will always have truth or error. You will always have peace or strife. You will always have love or hate. You will always have right or wrong, for these pairs never cohabitate, and the positive pair must be put on. You gotta put it on. You don't love by nature. You hate by nature. Hatred comes when there is a void caused by lack of love. Strife comes when there is a void caused by lack of peace. Wrong comes when there is a void caused by lack of right. Impatience comes when there is a void caused by lack of patience. There's a place inside of you, somewhere in your life, for either temperance or self-control or indulgence. One or the other. Self-control and indulgence are never found in that place at the same time. Either self-control is there and indulgence finds no entrance, or self-control is not there and indulgence finds an empty apartment where it can move in on his own. There's a place in your life for complaining or contentment. They never coexist. Either you are content or you complain. Either you have contentment or you have complaining. Now, if you do not on purpose put on contentment, complaining will come. Complaining is the decay. Complaining is the mildew. Complaining is the rotting process. Complaining is the molding. It's that which takes place by nature if you do not put on contentment. There's a place inside of you where either humility or pride will live. They will not live together. And when humility is there, pride is not there. When humility is not there, pride enters. I say again, humility comes on purpose. You say, I'm going to put it on. It's interesting. The Bible never says anything about you can put on hate. No, hate's already there. You put out hate and then you put on love. Bible never says put on strife. No, strife is already there. You have hatred by nature. You have strife by nature. You're lazy by nature. You're wrong by nature. And if you do not do wrong, you've got to put off wrong. And if you do right, you've got to put it on. You've got to do it on purpose. The opposites cannot coexist. Wrong will clothe you if you fail to put on right. Now, the secret is, and if you listen, you'll be helped. The secret is, you must put on good. It's an interesting thing about life. But the most important things in life never force their way into your schedule. You know why you don't go soul winning? Because soul winning never nags for attention. Now, a dirty floor will. An unmowed yard will. You know why you don't read your Bible? You intend to read your Bible. You come down the aisle on Sunday night when the sermon is preached on the Word of God, and you kneel here at this altar and you say, "Oh God, I'm going to read my Bible." But you don't read your Bible because you promised to at the altar. You've got to put it on every day. And the honest simple truth is, these important things in life never fight for entrance into your schedule. It is the little things that force their way into your schedule, and you intend to do the big, but you do the little, and you get so wrapped up on these pesky little things that force their way into your life, you come to the end of a day, and you have not done the big thing. Listen, you tell me what your priorities are, and I'll tell you what you are. You've got to put on Bible reading. You've got to put on prayer. You've got to put on soul winning. It's done on purpose, because these big things never intrude. Prayer. Prayer never says, God never comes to you and says, "You haven't spent any time with me. I've been here alone all day long. You never spend enough time with me." Now, your wife may say that, but prayer will never say that. Bible study never nags at you. The Bible never says, "Read me! Read me!" The Bible never flashes a sign on the outside or has a beautiful picture on the outside and says, "Read me! Read me!" No, the Bible will not force its way. Why? Because God wants you to do right, because you choose to do right. And God wants you to read the Bible and pray and do the big things because you put them on. Now listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. The reason that dozens of us are failing in our Christian lives, we want to do right, we want to do the things that are the biggest things, but we never plan to do them. We just let that which comes to us, those things in our daily schedule which force themselves in, are the less important things. Praise is introverted and never pushy. Giving never pleads for attention. Gratitude never begs for time. These giants of our lives, these Goliaths of our schedules, never beg for attention. The Bible never tries to force its way, and God will not do it that way. But the little things do. An unmowed yard forces its way in. A dirty floor pushes its way in. A soiled house. Eating forces its way in. Play will pester you until you give it attention. But incidentals are brash. You don't plan to get dirty. You plan to get clean. And if you don't get clean, you get dirty. But if you don't get dirty, it's because you plan to get clean. Cleanliness never just happens. You don't leave a dirty house someday, come back home and say, "Aunt Claire, I left it here and it got clean." No, you don't do it that way. You leave a clean house, and you come back home and say, "I declare, it got dirty." And you can shut every window, you can shut every door, you can stick paper underneath the cracks in the door, and dust will get inside. I don't know how it gets in, but it gets in. And a fly will get in, too. I don't know where a fly gets in, but it'll get in. Why? Because by nature, that which is neglected decays and gets dirty. And that's why your life is dirty. And that's why your mind is dirty. And that's why your words are dirty. I don't know why you fuss so much. You don't put on peace enough. You don't get up in the morning and say, "I'm going to put on peace. I am going to put on peace today on purpose." I don't know why hatred fills your heart. You don't get up in the morning and say, "I'm going to put on love." You put on your shoes. You put on your socks. Not in that order. But you put on your socks, and then you put on your shoes. And you put on your underclothing, and you put on your pants. You ladies do, you men don't, but put on your pants. And you put on your shirt. Now, you put on your dress, maybe, if you're a modest lady. And you put on your makeup. Oh, God knows you're using too much of it. You really are. And you put on your makeup, and you put on your wig, and your hairpiece, if you're a man. Wig, if you're a woman. And oh, I said to a fellow today, a fellow said, "You're losing your hair." I said, "Boy, you ought to see me without this toupee. I'll tell you." Somebody else, Bill, said, Bill Hardy one time, said, "My hair is all mine." And Bill said, "This will be all mine after six more payments, too." But You put on your glasses. You put on your coat. You put on your shoes. Now listen to me. You ought to put on love in the morning too. You ought to put on kindness in the morning too. Listen to it. Put on mercies. Mercy has to put on purpose. You don't get merciful accidentally. You put on kindness. Kindness is put on, got to put it on. You don't get kind by nature. Somebody said, I wish I were as kind a person as she is. She's not a kind person. Nobody's kind by nature. Nobody's good by nature. Nobody's merciful by nature. Nobody does right by nature. You say, I wish I had as good a voice as this couple did that sang a while ago. God sure gave them good voices. Oh, I'm not sure about that. Well, she has a good voice. He sort of croaks when he sings, but no, they have lovely voices. Beautiful voices. What's not by nature? I wonder how many times they've practiced and held their diaphragm like this and gone, ho, 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 do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, ti, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do. That's the way I got to know. Listen, I didn't sing like I can. No, the way I sing is if you leave it alone. You don't put anything on. It just happens. But I've never, but how did you become good singers? Hour after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour of practicing and rehearsing and learning how to do things properly. That's how you become a good singer. Anything that is listen, anything that you go to the top, you go uphill, and uphills always work. You go to the bottom, you go downhill, and downhill is always not going uphill. There's no resistance to going down. That's a natural thing. The law of gravity brings it down. You go up on purpose. I used to be a paratrooper. When I got in that, what is now called a DC-3 airplane, those days it was a, good night, I've forgotten what it was now. What are the old DC-3s used to be? Oh, it was C-46, C-47. I'd get in that thing, airplane, and the parachute on my back and a full field pack on my front. Don't have the parachute now, still have the full field pack. And, but I had the parachute on my back, and now then, those old two engines on those C-46, C-47 airplanes, they'd rev those engines out the end of the runway, and it'd pull it out all the way and take off down the runway and rise, and you could hear the engine saying, I've got to do it, I've got to do it, I've got to do it, and I've got to do it. Somebody had worked to build that airplane. Somebody had worked to make the fuel. Somebody had learned, they'd taken years to learn how to fly that thing, and up in the air it would soar. It took many, many hundreds of thousands of man hours to go up. But simple to go down. Just jump out. Sergeant said, ready, go. And if you felt led to go, you just jumped out. And it was no problem at all. It's always tough to go up. It's easy to go down. And that's why God said, if you do not want to hate, you've got to put on love. If you do not want to fight, you've got to put on peace. If you do not want to be lazy, you've got to put on work. Now, these are things that must be put on. Because they do the big things never fight their way. Andrew Jackson's mother said, one of the most important things in life is to forget an obligation, to remember that forgetting an obligation is an actual crime. Cicero said 2,000 years ago, refusal set aside trivials is the main thing that causes failure. Did you hear me? Refusal to set aside trivials. Listen, there is not a person in this room but what has more to do than he can get done. Now, what you become depends on what you put on. Something will be left out. Listen to me. The big thing will not be done because it has to be done. It'll not be done till you do it on purpose. The incidentals will beg for attention. And that's why there are people in this room who get up in the morning and you plan to read your Bible 30 minutes, but you never find time. Why? Because you don't do it on purpose. So what we do is this. We always plan to do that which is important. And yet, we always do the little cocky incidentals that force their way into our lives. And put off the timid, important things that wait for our initiative. You don't put on anger, it'll come. You don't put on impatience, it'll come. You don't put on hatred, it'll come. A poll was taken of preachers in America. And they listed the six things a preacher basically does with his time, a pastor. And they said, please list in what you think the degree of importance, which is the most important thing a pastor does, and which is the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. Now get this. By a landslide, the most important thing a pastor does, it said there, is preaching. That's what they voted on. First question, what do you think the most important thing a pastor does? And they voted preaching. And number six was administration. Then the question was, on what of these do you spend the most time in order? And the most time was spent on administration. And number six was preaching. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is your life story. You know what's important, but you spend your life spending most time on trivials and less time on the big important things. You say, why? I don't want to. I'll tell you why. You've got to put on the big things. You've got to do them on purpose. You go up by toil. You go down naturally. And those little pesky things, you know, for example, here comes a little mouse through your house. Living room. Hey! Jump on the table. Gotta kill the mouse. Gotta kill the mouse. The Bible never runs along the road and says, get me, get me, get me. No, sir. Bible sits there on that table and it will not be read. It will not force its way to be read. Now, a cockroach can crawl across the floor and you will stop everything to kill it. But the Bible will not crawl across the floor. And soul winning won't jump up and say, do me, do me, do me. He won't do it. And that's why the average person in this room today goes through life living on the incidentals and the least important things, because you have never learned that great truth in life that those things that are the most important must be put on. You've got to do them on purpose. No one is naturally nice or kind or happy or peaceful or industrious or good. Let's take a few people here. Mrs. Colston over here. You won't see her out of sorts very often. You will, but we won't. You won't see her out of sorts. Either she's happy or she's the biggest fake in the church. I think it's the latter. Somebody said, I wish I had a happy disposition like Mrs. Colston. She doesn't have a happy disposition. She has a sour disposition. Well, you say, Brother Howard, she's always happy. If she is, that's because she puts it on. She's just a big put on. Puts it on. I've had preachers say to me, boy, how did you? I'm just one of those got to have 8 hours sleep. Oh, everybody's that way. No difference. And they'll say to me, I'll tell you what, I just can't get up in the morning. Brother House, I wish I were like you, just bounce out of bed in the morning. I don't bounce out of bed, I get resurrected every morning. First thing I did this morning was try to figure out what country I was in. I got it narrowed down to the right country. I said, now, which of the 50 states am I in? I got it narrowed down to the right state, and then I said, now, what city am I in? And then what part of that city am I in? And then after I got out the big things, I tried to find figure out who I was. Now, what is today? See, how many days are there in a week? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. This is Sunday. Now, what am I supposed to do? You say, Brother Hiles, I had a hard time getting up. So did I, but I got up. Say, why? Because I am supposed to do it. That which is right to do must be put on. Oh, my soul, we wander through life. We vacillate through life. With no character and no willpower and no self-control, we just do whatever says, do me, do me, do me, and something flies over here and you spill something on the floor, you clean the floor. Nothing wrong with these things. Most of these things are good to do. But if it is your prayer time and the parakeet's cage falls on the floor and gets the carpet dirty, and the paper is not has not been changed lately. And the carpet, all of a sudden, if it's your prayer time, keep on praying. Keep on praying. I mean, we spend our lives with letting outside stimuli tell us what to do. That's one reason why I will not read a billboard beside the highway. I'll not do it. I'm not going to let some public relations man in some city somewhere tell me what I'm going to eat next. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to. I am going to say, what is the thing I ought to do? What is the thing I ought to eat? What is that big thing? And in this matter of priorities, the big things always are done on purpose. Now, what's the answer? The answer is schedule the important things first. Schedule the big things first. Now, you come to Sunday school at 9:30 on Sunday morning. You come to morning preaching service at 10:45. You come to evening service at 7 o'clock. It's scheduled. We're going to be here. It's a part of the schedule. I'll be here. It's on my schedule. I don't care what happens. I mean, if a snake crawls through our yard this afternoon, I'm going to be here at 7 o'clock tonight. If I see in the house this afternoon a big old rodent, which is being interpreted rat, I'm going to say for the coast and get out of here and go home. If I see a rat crawling through the house this afternoon, I'll be here at 7 o'clock tonight whether I get that rat or not. I understand you're going to be here too, aren't you? But I'm saying that that's my schedule. Now listen to me. When you go to work in the morning, you don't let little incidentals keep you from going to work. If it's time to go to work, you go to work. Now you get the place to where your Bible reading time is just as religiously adhered to as your going to work time. You're going to know what I'm talking about this morning. There ought to be a time in your life where you read this Bible. I do not care what happens, you read the Bible. Your kids may say, Daddy, I want to go to the zoo. Tell them to go on. Bible reading time. Your wife may say, there's a mean dog in the backyard. Okay. Pray for her while she chases him off, but you read your Bible. Now listen, somewhere in this message this morning, you don't know it, but somewhere I'm touching on greatness. You don't know this this morning because it's not as funny or as dynamic as if I were preaching against Hollywood movies or against marijuana. But somewhere right in this message is the reason that success succeeds and failure fails. Life is a matter of priority. And as I said a while ago, there are more things for Jack Howells to do than Jack Howells can do. Now what have I got to do? I've got to look at all these things, and I've got to decide which of these are big things and which of these have top priority. And I've got to say, okay, this is for this, and this is for this, and this is for this. I'll say again, you don't have to schedule wrong. You don't have to put in your schedule, get mad. 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, get mad. You'll get mad anyhow. You don't have to say, I'm going to put impatience in my schedule. Impatience will be in your schedule if patience is not there already. And force yourself to keep them. Now, I want to say this. I schedule my prayer time. Now, if during my prayer time you call me on the telephone, you can call and call and call, but I am not going to answer. And you can knock on my door till your knuckles have bruises and calluses, but I'm not going to answer. Because it's my time with God. And my prayer time is my power time. And if I do not answer the phone, I still can preach with power on Sunday. But if I do not pray, I cannot preach with power on Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, I schedule my Bible study time. And my Bible study time is just as sacredly adhered to as my morning service on Sunday morning is. Why? You've got to put that on. I schedule praise time. You say, Brother House, you just can't all of a sudden say, okay, it's 2 o'clock, time to praise. You can't say, oh, let's see, here it is. At 2 o'clock, okay. 5 seconds till 2, 4, 3, 2, 1. Praise the Lord! Yes, you can. Yes, you can. All you got to do is go look in your cupboard. Any food there, you can praise. Look in your closet. Any shoes there, you can praise. Any clothes there, you can praise. Look at your house that has a heater in the wintertime, you can praise. I'm simply saying, listen, folks, praise done because of character is more acceptable to God than praise done that's instantaneously done. Sometimes. I have praise time. What do you do during praise time? Close my ears and don't hear for a while and then open them and thank God that I can hear and praise the Lord. What do you do during praise time? Cover my eyes with a handkerchief and walk around blind for a while so I can take the handkerchief off and say, praise God, I can see. Jump up and down and say, praise God, I'm not in the hospital. I'm not an invalid. But you do it on purpose. Now, I'll tell you why you complain. You complain for one reason, and that is because you have not included praise in your schedule. And you hate for one reason, because you've not put purposely love into your schedule. There ought to be a time in your schedule. I mean right down there from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock on a certain day or certain days in your schedule where it says love. And sit there for an hour and think of all the people you can and thank God for them and appreciate them and love them. Most of us just go from stimulus to stimulus. Oh, it sure is hot. That's because one of your senses sends word to your brain that it's hot. Oh, it's hot. I can understand people. All winter long, we long for this real hot weather. And I was listening to the news the other day, and a dirty newscaster said, we're finally going to have relief from the heat for the weekend. And all winter long, he was wanting relief from the cold. I understand it. Yes, I understand it. I understand it. Listen, you don't praise because it's hot or because it's cold. You praise because you set aside time to praise. You put it on! Listen to me. It says, put on mercy, kindness. Now, you will be grouchy unless you're kind on purpose. Somebody says, Ray Bordway's a good, steady fella. No, Ray Bordway's not a good, steady fella. Ask Mabel. Ray's not a good, steady fella. Ray's an unpredictable griper. What you say for the Hiles, I never have seen him that way. I know, that's because he puts on patience. Puts it on. It's on purpose. Well, I tell you what kind of person I am. Oh, shut up. Everybody, the Bible says no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. There's no person who's more patient than the other by nature. And there's no person who's more loving than the other by nature. I often sit in my study with young ladies who just got married. And I'll say, do you tell your husband you love him? Or I may say to a parent, do you tell your children you love them? And they'll say, well, I'm just not the affectionate type. Well, nobody's the affectionate type. Listen to me. The person that you say is affectionate is the person who has put on. I mean, really, I don't mean just put it on, but put on. I mean, fake it. You have a child that's 13 or 14 or 15 or 16 years of age, and that child has grown up without ever having his dad walk up and say, you're a good guy and I love you. Don't hide behind the fact that you're just not affectionate. Force it for a while. Walk up and say, son, I love you. And the next day, I still love you. If you've got to be awkward, do it, but put it on. And then after you put it on enough, it becomes natural. Not natural, normal. After a while, you get used to it. Get used to it. Now, for example, when I say, put on love, I didn't have to practice that. And when I was in college, I did. I used to preach. Put on love! Or, put on love! Instead of saying, let me tell you something, I'd say, let me tell you something! Or let me tell you something. It wasn't natural. I was trying to learn to preach. But I preached over 24,000 sermons. In an average of an hour and a half, please. I preached over 24,000 sermons. When I say, put on love! Good night! I used to say, good night! Now, look. Anything gets good that way. I hate to tell you this, but Brother Lively over here staggered for a lot of his life. He had to practice to walk. He was about 9 months old. His mother said, now put this foot here, put this one over here. Now then, I said, Mr. Lively, come in. Look how he did that. Look how he did that. Now, he didn't have to say, this foot here and left foot over like this and right. No, sir. Now, a lot of you folks, you're not loving because you never practiced loving. And folks, if you're 30 years old, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, or 60 years old, and you start practicing anything that's right, it's going to be awkward. And it's not natural. Now listen to me. Everybody here has 365 days a year except leap year. And then 366. Everybody here has 24 hours in a day. Everybody here has 60 minutes to the hour and 60 seconds to the minute. The difference is not some of us are just live wires. Dr. Billings used to say, I'm a live wire. Everything I have on is charged. But, boy, he's a live wire. He's not a live wire. He's put on zeal. That's all. Boy, she's so sweet. No, she's not sweet. Mrs. Bartels, you are not sweet either. You've just been putting on kindness all these years. And now kindness to Mrs. Bartels is like walking to Mr. Lively. And that's what the Lord God meant when he invited the Holy Spirit to write through the hand of the Apostle Paul. Put on the new man. Those things in life which are the big things, be sure you schedule them and force yourself to do them. And do not allow little incidentals. There are folks in this room who intend to get saved someday. But your vacation's coming up, and you can't do it then. And you're going to have a baby one of these days. You can't do it till you get your visa now. And someday, you are going to do that monumental, magnificent, huge, giant, biggest thing in life task of relating your soul right to your God. But there are numbers of you who are not saved and will die and go to hell, not because you plan to, but because the incidental things of life force their way into your life, and you never got around to doing the big thing simply because you did not do it on purpose. Why don't you say this morning, with the grace of God, I'm going to go home and list those things that are big. List them. I'm going to force time. I'm going to put them on. Again, I say, the more important the thing is, the more timid it is. And the less important the thing is, the more pushy it is. Put off the pushy. It must be done on purpose. Put on the big. It must be done on purpose. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please?